welcome everyone to another episode of the Adeptus Ridiculous Podcast. My name is DK Diamantes, his name is Bricky, and you know why you're here. But before we get into all that, if you enjoyed today's episode of the podcast and you maybe want to support us, head over to patreon.com/AdeptusRidiculous, where you can get access to our Discord, bloopers if they happen. The $15 tier gets you access to all of our posters in crispy HD digital format. Support the podcast today at patreon.com/AdeptusRidiculous. Bricky has things.
You know, you can buy merch at orchidate.com. It's in the description. Read War Boss. We're going to have that book club probably later this week. All good stuff. Anyway, DK, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. We are recording this episode like 5 days early.
Wow. Why?
Because you're going somewhere, dingus.
What? Me? Where leaving the house?
Where are you going anyway?
My brother got me tickets to go see my favorite hockey team because they only come to California like once a year.
Ooh, where are you? What
the New Jersey Devils are going to be playing Los Angeles Kings at the Crypto.com Arena.
Don't you dare call it the Crypto. That is the Staples
Center. That's what
it's
called.
No, it's the Staples Center. I refuse to allow them to do that to me. It's the Staples Center. It will stay the Staples Center. No Los Angeles cringe will stop it from being the Staples Center.
They couldn't afford it anymore.
Shy here is malding because she refunded Helldivers and then got mad when we didn't play with her because she refunded Helldivers.
Yeah. We offered, didn't we offer to play with her on at a something, whatever, if she got it?
There's everyone. That is not true. She is gaslighting both of us. I'm smelling it. I smell gas.
Turn off the pilot light, Bricky. Don't turn on the pilot light.
She has specifically turned off the carbon monoxide detectors in my house. I am getting a headache.
Bricky, get out of there. Bricky, get out of there.
Goodness gracious. Anyway,
we had to record a little early because my brother got me a super cool belated birthday present to see my favorite hockey team in LA. So that's where I am right now.
Yeah. And that's also why we are doing an episode kind of randomly and just a little off the cuff today, but thought it'd be kind of a fun thing to do. You ready for your quote, DK?
Oh, can my birthday present from you be not having a quote?
What day is your birthday?
I would tell the internet.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. That's February 16th.
Wait, it was 12 days ago?
Yeah, it was a while ago. It was almost 2 weeks ago now, yeah.
You didn't say anything.
Well,
you didn't even mention it.
I mentioned it in passing.
Happy birthday, DK. Here's an orbital 380 millimeter HE explosive attack.
Oh, no.
Start running.
Oh, no. No. No.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. My escape was miraculous. The Emperor must have rewarded my undying faith in those times. However, though I am physically free, my body bears the scars, the many, many scars. Every breath takes me to a new plane of agony. Every heartbeat sets my jagged nerves with writhing pain. I cannot see, I cannot speak. Most horrid of all, I cannot forget. Nightmares and waking visions plague me. The drip of my own blood, the cries of anguish haunt me. No one escapes the dark city.
Whoa. All right. So this poor sap is not in a good place. It kind of sounded like it because at the beginning was like, oh, I'm free and whatever. And then dark city reminds me of Camarog. The Dark Eldar place, so... But it sounds like he's psyker suffering, visions, bleeding. I don't know.
I never understand your ability to, like, get it and then second-guess yourself and then, like, undo it.
Oh, so what is it?
Like, he literally picked the correct answer and then you're like, well, it can't be that.
It's Camarog?
It's Camarog.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, hey. I'm going to say I got that because why not?
Hey, listen. All right. So we had a short time frame to get to this episode done. And we said, and Shai was like, all right, we had either a viewer or a patron show like each faction of 40K. And when was the last time we talked about it? By the longest margin, the faction we have not spoken of in the longest time is the Dark Eldar. All the way back in December 2021.
It's been that long?
It's been that long.
Whoa!
I was genuinely shocked. I could have sworn... I mean, we've talked about them in passing.
Almost 3 years? Well, not quite,
like,
but...
No, it's like 2 years into change.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow. That was so long ago, genuinely shook. So, you know, I did what I normally do with research, which is completely copying everything from Luton. ironically, I think for the Rogue Trader game, he did make a video. So it was neat stuff there. But we got a lot of Camarog kind of shenanigans here and there. And we've talked about the city pretty constantly because of... Just
craziness. It's a labyrinth. It's just unknowable.
I mean, that and the fact that it is basically where all Dark Eldar live. Like, the entire faction basically just lives there.
Oh, yeah.
Which is quite the rarity in a star-spanning galaxy kind of thing. Yeah,
that an entire race lives in one confined hellscape, as it were.
So because of that, it's very neat to talk about as a product where, you know, you have the Emperor on Terra, but Terra is just the home planet where Camarog basically is all of them. So Camarog, it's not a great place.
From what I hear, it is not swell. It's just like most art I've seen depicted of it is like the one that Shai posted, where it just looks like all of these like interconnecting spires that are crossing over each other, and it's just it's awful. It just looks like a horrible place to be.
It is a horrible place to be, and arguably it's a horrible place to be both for its denizens and for its everyone else. And, you know, if it wasn't bad enough to already be a horrible place to be, it's filled with arguably the most horrible faction in the galaxy.
Yeah, you don't want to be a POW getting sent off to Camarog. You don't.
You just don't want to be in Camarog in general.
Period. Yeah, even the Dark Eldar probably kind of don't want to be there, yeah.
They do and they don't. It's the same kind of enjoyment you would get in a pirate haven, because for the most part, Dark Eldar are pirates. They embody the whole big, important port city. They trade money and life as if it was wine as well. But, of course, for a bit of a refresher for some of our viewers, Dark Eldar are the ones the most depraved of the Eldar before the Fall. Mm-hmm. And they had their special uber depraved sanctuary city in the Webway. And when Slaanesh was birthed, they were kind of safe in the Webway.
Kind of, yeah.
Kind of. Slaanesh still owns their soul in a way, but it's very light touch. They don't just like get snagged. They have found that a really good way to stave off She Who Thirsts is to do the things that she loves. They have found a lovely way to drain the souls of people to enhance their life and live forever.
The homunculus do that, right? Or is it just any of them?
The homunculus
modify them. They like augment Dark Eldar, right?
You're correct on both. The homunculus are flesh crafters. And which is just a phrase that has all kinds of meaning. But the homunculus often strike deals with large amounts of the Dark Eldar to take like a finger or something and then reclone them from that part of their body to make sure that even if they die, they don't actually die.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And so packs of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and the Dark Eldar are the ones that like, they really leaned into the depravity, and the craft worlds are the ones that are like, guys, this is like, we gotta dip. Like, this is the wrong way to go.
Dark Eldar take up a very interesting niche in the overarching world of Warhammer, where every single society kind of broke down and became a shadow of its former self. The Imperium's bloat, the Necrons coming back, but like kind of infighting, etc. Mm-hmm. Dark Eldar are kind of the same from what they used to be.
Yeah.
They kind of just got more into it.
Yeah, they just really leaned into all that stuff that, like, birthed Slaanesh, right? They just kept on going, kept on getting more and more extreme. And then it was like, oh, hey, this depravity that we really leaned into sustains us, makes us nigh immortal, and keeps Slaanesh off our backs? Well, let's drink up. And, yeah.
Shia makes an interesting statement here. It says, in the book The Big Daka, there are sections written from a Dark Eldar perspective, and they talk about how no Eldar, even Dark Eldar, is born scum. You mean like they're born as scum, or they're not?
Like as a scumbag or something. Like, there's no Dark Eldar that's like born innately bad and evil and masochistic or whatever, right?
So when they're kids and their parents have to teach them how to torture, mutilate slaves, it isn't fun for the kids.
It's just no fun for anyone.
So they kind of do the thing where, like, kids are evil, but they do kind of the thing where kids, in a sense, are not evil. Because
they need to, right? Like, no one's born evil. You have to be taught evil, right?
Right. Which is actually an interesting kind of perspective there, that they're not born that way. But I guess it makes sense.
Well, I mean, every baby is kind of just a blank slate for how your parents want to raise you, right?
Yeah.
Is kind of just a blank slate that, you know, you have to mold into a good person because you teach them, right? So,
obviously, Khamarag itself is a city that lies in the Webway, which is why, mm-hmm. one of the reasons why it's such a difficult city to assail.
To get to,
because you need a Webway portal, mm-hmm. And then to assail. Like, fight, because...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's... One, getting to the Webway is hard enough as it is, and then navigating the Webway is even harder, and then fighting a fight against people who are born understanding the weirdness of their Webway, mm-hmm. is just, like, how do you fight that?
Yeah, that's their stronghold, too. Like, not only is it hard to get there, not only is it hard to... That's their stronghold. That's their most... heavily fortified position. So, like, once you get over the fact that, oh, hey, we finally figured out how to get here, it's like, well, you better have a big force that can get there, because that is home base. So, yeah, that's not a pretty proposition.
Not to say that there haven't been people who have attacked Khamarag in the past. The orcs clearly have not just in the recent book, but have been in Khamarag multiple times before, because they just kind of, I mean, often I think the orcs just kind of show up and they're like, oh, cool.
Yeah, well, that's true. The orcs probably would get a kick out of it because, wow, this is a good scrat, Roydy. Right?
Oh, yeah. Or sometimes it's the weird, political adjustments made by the actual leaders of the Dark Elder themselves. For example, the head of Khamarag, the supreme leader, is Supreme Overlord Azdrabael Vect, who has been considered dead multiple times and has never been. And he himself has taken over Khamarag as a massive military dictatorship by tricking the Salamanders to have a giant imperial force enter Khamarag, basically kill all of his rivals, and then take power himself.
Wow. All right. Well, that does sound like a very Dark Eldar way to gain power. Sure. Hey, big brain move got him the throne, so I guess no... Yeah, that's a... Sure.
Here's a... Sure. Oh, God, I forgot about the old mini with the fucking pimp slaves on the boat.
Oh, that's is that like a they're trying a little Star Wars shindig there where they've got him in the pseudo gold bikinis and the skiff and the
It's the olden times, you know.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Here's a long quote that might be interesting. Komarag is a city like no other in the universe. It exists outside space and time in the unknowable depths of the Sea of Souls, the realm beyond our realm that idiot savants argue gave birth to all we know. Komarag's makers, or rather architects, as they would claim, did not fashion the city as one place. Rather, each of them used ways unimaginable to lesser beings to fashion their own secret enclaves out of the immaterial realm to serve as fortress, sanctum, pleasure palace, or arena according to their whim. In time, the hubris of these architects grew so great that they created something that breached the very walls between realms. As all crashed into ruins, they fled to their enclaves like rats into their holes. In time, as they grew ever more fearful of the dreadful child they had stirred together, those that survived the tempest strove to connect their realms. So steeped in torture and murder were they that they had no choice. They must do so to feed upon one another and whomever else they could bring beneath their hand. And so the Eternal City was born. This is a an adept
what a quote.
Of the
good Lord
is an adept of the Ordo Hereticus. So this is from a human perspective.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, sheesh. That's a quote and a half. Good Lord, that's like 14 episodes of quotes.
It was a very long paragraph. But the Dark City itself operates much like any kind of pirate scum haven, where it's a mixture of dens and bars and back alleys, all the while the noble and high up like mercenaries stay in the twisted spooky spires that defy gravity, in between going into an unfathomable amount of gladiatorial pits to watch people get murdered in insane fashion for their spectacle.
Oh, so all of the spires are for the higher ups?
Well,
all of them have like, oh, it depends.
Well, it's like the whole area is like a you know, look at that picture that Shai posted earlier. Like the spires point downwards as much as they point upwards.
Yeah, they're like everywhere. I was like, there's that many like upper crust Dark Eldar?
It's they're everywhere. You can't comprehend how Kamara even works.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, there's the webway. Like it's not
Yeah, okay. All right, fine, sure.
If you remember well in the Master of Mankind, the custodians at the end had the fight in the webway, and even like Arkin Land, the scientist was like, I can't make sense of this, I'm losing my mind.
Oh yeah, and he turns into like a crying mass of like, oh my god, get me out of here, get me home, I need to get out of here, and yeah.
Granted, he was also looking at demons for a while, so there's also that part. But,
yeah, sure, but yeah, it's a funky space.
But, you know, let's say you're an Eldar raider. Perhaps you are under the service of the Archons of the Kabbalite Warriors, the classic classic Dark Eldar fighting force. Mm-hmm. And your boss, the Archon, maybe made a deal with the Homunculus Coven. And the Homunculus wanted you to bring him exactly 4,000 human slaves to practice his new flesh crafting abilities. So you load into your raiders and reavers, you exit the webway, a Komarag through the webway, and you find some kind of human civilization that seems mostly unprotected or at least not able to respond to your speed and swiftness.
Which is probably a lot of them.
You land, kill everyone who is in your way for the most part, steal as many possible slaves as you can, and completely disappear into the night like you were never there.
Great.
In response to this, the 4,000 human slaves get returned to the Homunculi Covens, and things happen to you that I can't even say on this channel because I had revenue.
I was going to say, those 4,000 people that got taken are about to suffer quite literally a fate worse than death.
Actually a fate worse than death.
Yeah, like if a homunculus is going to experiment on you, like... you might prefer the sweet release of death.
Now, maybe the homunculus was looking for a new sofa, so he will contort you into a sofa.
Mm-hmm. Or a lampshade.
Or a lampshade, perchance. Maybe a coat. He's wearing a skin coat in that video, in that picture right there.
That's true. That's true.
Maybe you just scream a certain way he really likes. So he'll just hook you up to something and let you keep doing that.
For as long as
he wants, because he just likes it.
Yeah, that does sound like a very dark Eldar thing to do. Or maybe, worse, he could start contorting your flesh in very weird ways, just trying to see how you react to whatever his thing is.
Yeah. Maybe he'll inject you with a few poisons just to see what it does to your body.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's just not good. It's a nightmare.
Hey, you know, he's really good friends with the Hecatrix blood brides, the succubuses, and he's like, hey, you know, I know you guys want something fun for your next gladiatorial show, so here's 20. You know, go to town. Here are the strong ones, and you know, see what they could have them give them some spikes and then send them against each other and make them kill each other for fun.
That would probably be the least painful way to go, actually.
It wouldn't suck as much as the other stuff.
Yeah. Because at least it would be over quicker than being a sofa for literally eternity, because they will keep you alive for as long as they can.
Sometimes, if you just want to have even more fun, sometimes, you know, Dark Eldar actually keep human pets.
Do they really?
Sometimes they keep them as, like, menials and slaves, and they just, like, you know, have them as serfs, basically. Ones that they find fun. Which, you know, fun isn't great.
Yeah, fun for a Dark Eldar is not exactly what you want to hear. Like, when you say pet, is it just like you follow them around and you've got like a collar and leash? Or, like, are they just like, oh, it's so much fun to do experiments on you and torture you and humiliate you in front of all of my Eldar friends? Like,
The answer is yes to all of them, but this is one of those times when I wish you knew the Emperor text to speech jokes, because it'd be like, Timothy, more wine.
Oh, sorry, I don't know.
They made quite the interesting character in the Emperor text to speech, which is Azrael Vex, like, slave, and it looks like this.
Oh, yeah, you've shown me Timothy before.
Yeah, Timothy.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a hard face to forget.
Yeah, it's a really hard face. Not even a mother would love that.
Yeah.
Even got the E.T. finger. But, like, you know, you might be that. And for some people, there's this, it's this weird thing where you would think that the humans who realize what's happening would just end their lives, right? Do their best to end their lives. But for the most part, it's actually not really like that. For the most part, the sheer, like, pure agony that goes on in your brain, your mind, is a fuel to try to keep you to still, like, live. Because the longer you can live, maybe you won't experience this again one day.
Yeah, you've got that sort of hope that someone will rescue me, and even though I'm suffering horribly, you know, maybe one day this can be reversed, or the Imperium will find me, or someone will save me, and I can finally know peace again. And
right, and the Dark Eldar feed on that hope. That's their bread and wine, is the ability to have you still think that way and constantly show you that you're wrong.
Yeah. What's the saying? The worst thing that ever came out of Pandora's box, or the thing that was left over in Pandora's box, was hope. And that was the worst thing you could inflict on mankind.
I've never actually heard that before.
It's something like that. Something along those lines. It's probably not the exact one, but it's something like that. It's like the worst thing Pandora's box opening inflicted on the world was hope.
What's this? Shai says, Comrog is wretched to such a degree in the Big Dock, they say, that the life can get unbearable even for a rare Jukari, who then will bail the city to join the Harlequins.
Wow.
I mean, Yvraine, you know, good old Yvraine, was a Dark Eldar witch. She was a gladiatorial fighter.
Oh, before, yeah, that's right. She was, wasn't she?
Yeah, before she left. The city is like, it's unfathomable how much it will just grind you down.
Yeah. I mean, it is a it's the Dark Eldar home port city. So if any place were to grind its citizenry down to that level, Comrog's your Huckleberry.
But even the Dark Eldar themselves are ground down by the city, by the needs of the Archon or the Homunculus, by Azrael Vex's various shenanigans.
If you're born there, you are not immune from the city trying to just tear you apart.
You are not immune to propaganda. And of course, because you're in the Webway alone, how the city functions is natural to a Jukari who, as an Eldar, is already a lithe, incredibly fast individual who can understand this life. But there is, quote.
quote, let's go.
The scions of the Dark City would never admit that the unceasing hunger at their core is what drives them to such heights of cruelty. Instead, they maintain that they act upon only their own desires. Some have even managed to convince themselves of this. In truth, unless our cousins in the Webway feed upon a constant diet of extreme emotion, they will slowly wither away, leaving naught but a soulless husk. We of the craft worlds deny all such urges, and in doing so become less than ourselves. Perhaps it is those that we left to perish who are the lucky ones.
Ooh.
It's a little interesting back and forth idea. I disagree, but you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, anything's got to be better than being stuck in Comrog and doing all that. I would much rather go with a craft world Eldar. If I was an Eldar, I would much rather be on a craft world continent ship than, you know, flaying humans and making them into sofa chair lampshade screaming walls.
Yeah, and you know, the Dark Eldar don't really discriminate when it comes to the heights of pain and agony they commit. They'll do to each other just as much as they'll do it to everyone else.
Oh yeah. That's how the whole thing got started, because they were doing it to themselves and they were like, wow, this is great.
It would keep doing it. But then there's like, it's like the gang violence issue where then you decide to torture up some Cabalite warrior who's this one Archon gang leader's like favorite fighter. And next thing you know, your gang is under siege by the other gang.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Need some barriers.
Then there are just like some of the weirdo things that exist in the Dark City, like mandrakes.
Like the screaming plants?
No.
Oh.
Like a half naked dude.
Matter-of-factly.
not those.
No.
Mandrakes, there's a quote which is, there is a very good reason why so many of the galaxy's cultures and societies are afraid of the dark.
Wow.
So that's a mandrake.
Whoa.
They actually just got a new model. Like they reveal like a new brand new mandrake model. Yeah. Yeah, they did.
That's a horror movie monster right there.
These dudes are so cool looking. Their shawls, their waistcoats are all made of skin.
Whoa.
That's not a shawl,
those are
actually.
So cool.
The little skirt.
Holy
jeez.
Yeah. They remind me of like it's like the one Dead by Daylight reference I can make. Was it the Oni character that's kind of like that?
Oh, yeah, the Oni, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of that vibe where it's like this really twisted warrior that looks like maybe at one point they were honorable, but just the dark has twisted them into a monstrosity. Ooh, those are so cool!
So, a mandrake is found in a place called Elendrak. It's a part of Comrog that is literally fallen into pure shadow. It's several districts that exist in more than one dimension at once. So the shadows in this area thicken and move as if they're alive. So the mandrakes are actually feared by the Jukari themselves because they can just pull themselves into a space-time region by being in someone else's shadow. It's like that, you know what? I'm going to make an anime reference. It's like that Naruto character.
I was about to say that!
That's the one part of Naruto I did watch was the training part in like the first couple seasons.
Shikamaru?
He was like the only guy that passed, right?
I don't know.
I remember that guy. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought to pass that one exam, whatever thing, you had to fight in that tournament thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he passed that?
I think he was the only one who passed it.
Oh, I don't know. It's Naruto. Who cares?
It's not important.
It's really not.
It's not important. Point being.
Point being, they're really scared. That's so cool, though. That, oh, man, now I want a Mandrake, like, 40K horror movie or horror series where it's just, like, some poor sap trying to get through the shadows, and it's just like, yeah.
So the dude on the bottom right, he's actually, like, what he's doing is he's actually casting himself in darkness. That's what that is.
It's sick. I thought that was just a cool cape.
No, it's like a mini representation of him shrouding himself in darkness.
Oh, cool. That's so edgy. I love it. They also look like they would be great Dark Souls enemies, like, or like an Elden Ring enemy or something.
Actually, that's a good point.
Especially in that picture Shai just posted. That looks like an Elden Ring boss portrait.
So there's a quote, just when you're watching the ceiling, they come through the walls. If the things we fight ever run out of ways to surprise you, I expect it's because their most recent surprise finally did the job for good. Some private. Mandrake specifically have the ability to steal and possess life energy and turning it into like a blue white blast from their hands. So they can actually suck up souls, and it's the one of the edgiest things in the 40K.
I love it.
Souls and then fire it back at you as like a Bale blast.
And you say it's blue?
It's like a blue white, like a cold fire.
Oh, so it's like I'm gonna make another old. It's Yu Yu Hakusho's finger gun.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, but if you look at the minis, they're making it with their hands there.
Oh, those are green.
Yeah, but
those are very green.
The bluish part is like the other section of it. You get the point.
Okay, yeah. Okay, maybe that's not the finger. Yeah.
You get the point. Point being is that they Mandrakes themselves have all those tattoos and stuff, like runes on them that are like kind of demonic. And so sometimes they'll actually just be a totally blank face. And then a face will just like arrive to stare at you like Zinchi and crap almost.
Hell yeah.
It's really weird.
I love it. I know a lot of people are like, oh, this is so edgy and cringe. Oh, I love it. I love that shit.
It is extremely edgy, but that is the point.
Yeah. I mean, they're Dark Eldar. You're right. That is the point.
It is actually the point. Like, this is the edgiest faction in the game.
Yeah. It doesn't get much more Eldir. It doesn't get much more edgy than the Drukhari and the Dark Eldar. Yeah.
In fact, like most Drukhari, they live and thrive on inflicting pain and terror. Mm-hmm. They're also really good at stealth because they literally blend in the shadow.
Yeah.
So very often, some Drukhari archons that are either so high up in the world that they aren't scared to make these decisions or are just plain old stupid, will hire Mandrakes to serve as part of their raid or cabal. Normally Mandrakes will ask for their share of slaves.
Oh, I was going to say, what the hell do you pay a Mandrake? Like what exactly do they want / need? Like they're Mandrakes. Like, can't they just, they live in shadow. Like you take whatever you want.
So ironically, the Mandrakes, right. They'll pay, ask for slaves, but sometimes they'll ask for weird stuff. Well, they'll ask for like a heartbeat or the voice of someone or a true name.
Oh, that is weird stuff.
Yeah, weird like ephemeral things. Like the fear of this individual specifically. You know? Huh. Often no one denies their requests, because apparently, from what the wiki is telling me here, the flayed skin on their bottom half is actually of those that betrayed them.
Oh.
So it's kind of a warning, like, don't screw with me.
Who in their right mind would try to betray a Mandrake? Why would you do that? Look at them.
Yeah, but think of like a Drukhari archon, like top dog of a gang.
Still, like just like I don't care who you are. One look at these guys and it's like, okay, hey, whatever you want, whatever you need, hey, no problem. I would never even think of crossing you. No way, no how. It doesn't take a lot of sense.
Yeah, but if you think of it like this, Drukhari are just either Drukhari, especially Archons, are you know, like when you're that high up, you think that the rules don't apply to you. And
truth.
I'm sure that there are mandrakes that have been betrayed and they've killed the mandrake. Like, this is the pirate city. They don't give a shit.
True.
This is Kamara, motherfucker. You get your weak ass back to Terra.
Yeah, I guess, but still, it feels like the mandrakes. I mean, and I don't know this for a fact, but just hearing about them, it's just like, okay, like, sure, you know what? This is Tortuga, and, you know, we're pirates, and pirates fear no one, and, oh, I'm the pirate king, and the One Piece is real, oh, sure. But it feels like there are still some unwritten rules where it's like, yeah, sure, but
don't fuck with the mandrakes, huh? Don't do that.
So it still feels like even gangsters and mobsters and criminals have that sort of like, hey, there's still some lines you don't cross. And it feels like this is one of those lines.
Sure. But then when your bodyguard is five of these guys.
Whoa.
You care less.
Whoa. Wow. What are those?
Grotesques.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they're called grotesques.
Sheesh.
Yeah, like when your bodyguards are those, like who cares, man?
Well, I guess when you put it like that, fair enough. Maybe I'm just too overprotective of the edgy boys.
I don't know, man.
And
it's
I just think they're too cool.
It's like you called someone a little bitch on like Call of Duty and or something, and they're like actually threatening to come to your house and kill you, but you're like the president of the United States. Like, am I actually scared? Am I genuinely frightened?
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, like, that. I don't know. They wear people's skin as a...
Dude, every Drukhari wears skin.
That's true,
skin.
Every Drukhari does
that's
that.
That's their thing.
That's literally every Drukhari. You're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, like there are specifically some like unwritten rules, you know, like hey, this is the gang group, like don't touch those guys, you know, Chai makes a good point. In Kamara, there are incubi, and incubi are the best looking Dark Eldar unit by a long margin
because they're incubuses.
Yes, the incubus is a super elite Dark Eldar warrior, normally part of an Archon's personal bodyguard. These
so you don't
guys,
mess with the incubussy?
You don't.
I'm sorry. I could not help it. I simply could not help it, dude. I am so sorry.
Much like our good friend Vashtor, you don't really mess with him because the incubi don't really swear an allegiance to any specific group. They are just an overall mercenary. Okay. And so everyone wants to stay on their good side because they are just invaluable and helpful in God knows how many ways.
And wow, yeah, they are very cool looking.
Yeah, I'm sure you remember our good friend Drazar with the Drazip.
Oh yeah, Drazar and the Drazip. Sure. Yeah.
As we said, like, you know, he is the one of the highest and most famous incubi out there.
Okay. I thought Drazar was like leader of Comrog for a while, wasn't he?
No, it's Azdrubale Vect.
Okay.
Though it is, if I'm not mistaken, it's assumed that Drazar was the old Aspect Warrior leader from Striking Scorpions.
Right. And he gets kind of banished and something like that, right?
As a whole thing.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that from the last Drukhari episode we did.
Yeah, this is a crime city. This is Compton the Third. You know, there are unwritten rules you tend to follow in here. And I mean, hell, it's so downtrodden. Like, there are humans in Comarog, escaped slaves and stuff, just living in the darkest, deepest dungeons trying to survive. And sometimes you'll run into them, and then normally they'll try to kill you because they are trying to do their best to survive. And as we know, the downtrodden and the impoverished tend to fight each other more than they fight those above them.
Yeah, I didn't realize there were, like, escaped humans that were living in, like, just some dank little pit in Komorog trying to survive. That's got to be awful. That has got to be the worst place for a human to try to survive. Like, oh, man.
It happens. It's rare, but it happens.
I mean, I guess it's better than, you know, being a homunculus experiment, but not by much.
It is, you know, Komorog here doesn't have really rules. And if there are some accidental things like friendly fire, for example, they just make sure nobody knows.
Yeah. No witnesses.
All the while, of course, you know, homunculus will get, you know, an Archon will amass a massive amount of soldiers, weaponry, and other kinds of fun, exciting items while the witches are out there getting as many things they can for their gladiatorial arenas as they could. Mm. And the homunculi are out there with their fun experiments in flesh crafting. But even the witch cults, you know, if I'm not mistaken, we talked about this in the prior episode in apparently 2021.
I do remember talking about the witch cults. Yes.
There were the one witch cult, I think it was the Cursed Blade, the Cult of the Cursed Blade, which, if I'm not mistaken, when you join the arena, like, parts of the arena are actually rigged, booby-trapped and stuff.
I mean, that makes sense to make it more interesting.
Well, yeah, so the excitement of possibly being one of the people in the stands, of maybe being killed by the spikes beneath your chair that open up at some point, is part of the exhilaration.
Part of the exhilaration, yeah, because they're Dark Eldar. They feed on that.
They love that
great.
Shit.
Great, yeah, the exhilaration. Yeah. Love
those
it.
Those creepy shitters.
Yeah, just a little creepy. Dark Eldar, just a smidge on the creepy side. Yeah.
And so you might wonder, like, does anyone ever try to get to Komorog that isn't a Dark Eldar? And the answer is actually quite often yes.
Wow, really?
I mean, they're fools.
They willingly try to get to... It's not like an orc thing where it's just like, oh, I showed up and this looks like a place for a good scrap. It's actual, like, I don't know, like a Space Marine chapter. It's like, oh yeah, we actually want to get there and blow them up or something.
Well, Space Marine chapters maybe a little bit less so, but Drukhari are very often, you know, whispering all kinds of horrible secrets in everyone's ear. And maybe there's a Mechanicus Explorator vessel that really wants to find an STC, and they just carefully, just lightly enough, send them on the trail. The trail might lead to a portal, and then at this point, they're so deep into it, they go into the portal, and next thing you know, your whole ship is trapped in Komorog, and you're about to await a terrible life.
Oh, so when you say people willingly, this is a air quotes, willingly, but it's really the Drukhari kind of tricked them into entering Komorog so they would be easy prey.
Well, not quite, also. It's both. There are people like rogue traders, for example, who believe that they are smarter than the Drukhari and can go to the port in search of fancy pantsy high level weaponry and trade for crazy shit from the Dark Eldar, because hubris of humanity is a very big thing.
Yeah, I don't suppose that has ever worked out in a rogue trader's favor.
Well, sometimes it does.
Oh, okay.
It's just, so, like, the Dark Eldar are all about themselves. Like, they will probably backstab you. They will most likely trick you. They will do all these kinds of stuff. But if you are genuinely cunning enough and smart enough, you can, one, outsmart them. But, you know, sometimes the Drukhari do honor their deals, because what they get out of it is just so much more important than what they lose.
Okay. Okay, so they are willing to barter.
They are
willing
to barter.
If you have the right thing. If you have a prized enough thing that they want, they are more than willing to barter with you and then chop your head off.
And then they will chop your head off, correct.
Yeah, sure. Not always, but I mean, I guess if you're like, oh yeah, you know, I can get more of this stuff, they'd be like, oh, okay, well, all right, fine.
They're not insane. They're just...
Well, that's... Well, they are insane. They're insane. But you can reason with them to some degree.
You can absolutely reason with them. And even though they probably will try to betray you, it whether the betrayal comes at the end or their betrayal ends up with you losing a lot of crew as slaves, it might not end up being the destruction of your ship. Jukari are out for themselves and only themselves. If going out for themselves means striking a deal with humans, Votan, or whoever, or the craft worlds especially, they will do it. Just have your eyes in the back of your head at all times.
Never let your guard down, because it's... I mean, I imagine if you are going in and you're like, okay, we're gonna try to make a deal with the Jukari, everybody's on high alert. Like, you can't just go in there and be like, oh yeah, this is gonna be super cash. Like, you've gotta be like sleeping with one eye open, eyes in the back of your head, right? There's no chance you go in there just willy-nilly to deal with the Jukari.
There's another Emperor text-to-speech thing or something where they have to like go to Komarog for something, and there's a guy who's like, I assure you, we, the Dark Eldar, will not try to betray you in any way. And it's like, uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's very convincing.
You can certainly trust us, the Dark
Eldar. The Dark Eldar. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
It is... Like it really depends on how you're able to navigate Komarog. Like I think there's the whole point with Asdrubale's Vex taking over of the port city itself involves capturing a forge hammer salamander's spacecraft, basically. Mm-hmm. And therefore, with that, they are able to bleed in the other Imperium to get the craft back, cause all this havoc, and then they leave when they get the craft back. And then in doing so, he took up advantage of the power vacuum.
Okay.
Would you like to read what Shai posted?
What DK needs to understand is that there's no political structure or primary agenda to the city. It's all gangs and everyone trying to get to the top, making temporary alliances, then backstabbing each other and falling apart. It's driven by both sadism, greed, and the fact that top-tier Jukari are literally immortal thanks to deals with the homunculus covens, so they aren't afraid to take chances at power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess a part of me thought that there was some sort of, like, I don't know, some sort of political structure, like there was some leadership or some hierarchy to
Asdrubale Vect is the top dog, big honcho man, because going against him is a bad idea.
Yeah.
That is basically your hierarchy.
Right. He's just the biggest, baddest guy, and you shouldn't try to kill him, but essentially it's just the city with no rules, period.
Pretty much.
Okay. Okay. No governing body, no police, no structure. It's just get power any way you can.
Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure why I thought there was some sort of power structure other than just, yeah, I will kill you if you try to take my stuff.
Yeah, it is basically just who's head honcho, man. Don't hurt it. Don't go against him.
Yeah. Yeah, he, like Shai said, he's not the president. He's just, you know, your biggest crime boss.
Wait, what's this? Bricky, I can talk about the Sons, huh? The Sons?
You mean Bricky, what about the Sons?
You mean the various Sons in the satellite realms, or?
Yeah, Bricky, what about the Sons?
I just wanted to... Is this like the generator that they use to power the city?
Yeah, Shai. What is this? The generator that they use to power the city?
You smell. There it is. The city itself is powered by Ilmea, or Stolen Suns. Before the fall, the Eldar brought stars from the Materium into Webway sub-realms above Komarog, providing the city with a near-endless supply of energy. This theft froze and killed the solar systems the suns were taken from, though the Eldar did not care. Quote.
Of course they didn't care. They just... Yeah.
Well, actually, that makes a lot of sense. That's literally what happens in the first 5 hours of Rogue Trader. That's literally the first thing that occurs.
Stealing a sun?
Yeah. Didn't you play at least like the first act?
I thought so.
The Dark Eldar arrive and steal the sun.
Oh. Well,
what?
Cool.
What?
I don't know if I got to that part.
That's like so early. Okay. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. It's cool. So, cool. But it's great to know that they steal suns to power Komarok. That's
yeah, that's fun.
And it's like, oh yeah, did we just doom this solar system? Eh.
Well,
whatever. Komarok needs it more.
They don't. Give
who shit. Cares? Did we just genocide this solar system? Eh, whatever. Not the worst thing we've ever done.
So, like I mentioned before, we talked about the spires, right? Mm-hmm. There are places in Komarok, like there's High Komarok. High Komarok is a region that consists of the highest spires of the city, home to the elites of society. Mm-hmm. Archons, famed warriors, high social status people, all of them with tons of Kabbalite warriors. It's luxury and a, you know, big ruling class. And so, for the most part, they love themselves and hate everyone below them, as do most, you know, high people, like people in high places do.
They literally live in a place called High Komarok. Of course they think they're higher and more important than you. Sure.
There's also something very important called Cain's Gate. Cain's Gate is a gate that goes directly into the realm of chaos.
Oh. All right. They have a portal that goes straight to chaos?
They got a portal to the warp, buddy.
Okay, that doesn't seem like a thing you should access a lot, but sure, I guess if you need to deal with chaos?
Well, what if you need to, like, travel?
Well...
Like, the Eldar, if I'm not mistaken, still use warp travel.
True, I guess you kind of, yeah.
Well, okay. No, they use webway travel. Never mind, I'm sorry, they use webway travel, but, like... Yeah, you have your gate, you know, you have your gate with the webway and stuff. And so often a lot of like Harlequin troops are there in order to, you know, make sure that demons don't go through.
Mm-hmm.
They make sure about the Cain's Gate.
Yeah.
About Black Throne Bricky. Let me see. Black Throne.
Yeah. Have you heard about the Black Throne Bricky?
Do you ever not?
No.
Do you ever cease? Please tell
you
me.
You even
Shai.
Know me?
Please tell me, Shai. This was a quick off the cuff episode. Anyway,
yeah, Shai, it was a quick off the cuff episode. Jeez,
I wish I had like just a gunshot sound effect for my on my soundboard. All I have is like Among Us.
You still only have Among Us soundboard bites? Come on,
no,
man.
I've got like eight, but none of them are DK shot.
Well, now you need to make one.
All right, here we go. The Black Throne is a Dark Elder device developed through their covert dealings with the Adeptus Mechanicus. What the hell? The Black Throne is a Xenos reconstruction of the Golden Throne and, like its predecessor, seeks to control access to the Webway. Upon its completion, the Dark Elder hope to use it to seize the endless demonic invasions and dysfunctions that have erupted across Komarok since the formation of the Great Rift. Like the Golden Throne, the Black Throne would require a powerful psyker to operate, and Inquisitor Erasmus Crow speculates that they have a twisted clone of the Emperor to do so. Okay, what? Speculates.
Still, speculates. That it is even speculation is crazy, because that means he thinks it's on the level of plausibility that they can clone the Emperor.
During the invention of Aramis Crowl, his retinue and the custodian Navradarn to the Mechanicum dealings with the Dark Eldar, many of the Xenos working on the Black Throne project were killed and associated complexes destroyed. Moreover, the genetic samples provided by fabricator General Od Oida Raskian in order
to... Od Oida? Did you say?
O-U-D space O-U-D-I-A. Oida, Oida, what do you want from
Oida,
me?
Oida, you're right. I mean, it's just such a goofy name. Sorry, I'm sorry to burst everyone's bubble with laughing at his name. Sorry.
Moreover, the genetic sounds provided by Oida in order to clone the Emperor have been eliminated. Whether this will halt the project is unknown. Okay, saying they clone the Emperor is a bit of a stretch. They think they clone the Emperor.
Yeah, they think they can clone the Emperor, but Oida has put...
Yeah, Oida screwed up.
Yeah, he's put a stop to it.
It says that the Emperor's the genetic sample provided had been eliminated. Whether this has halted the project is unknown.
Well, I guess they just got to get another sample. They just got to get some crusty old stains off of the Golden Throne.
See, Shai, you say, what do you think they would do with it? Make pies? They would make paint. They would do that. They would, like, get
pain
high.
Pies.
Yeah, they would, like, get high off the Emperor's genetic material. They'd find a way to turn it into a drug, and then they would snort that shit.
Oh, yeah, they'd use it like slow-mo from Dread.
Like that.
Oh, you didn't watch Dread, did you?
I know what slow-mo is, though.
Oh, okay.
Pretty good way to have slow-mo in your movies to make it a drug.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Zack Snyder is huffing the slow-mo for sure, dude.
I hate Zack Snyder so much. Did you know that? Did you know that I don't like him?
Yeah, I knew. I knew. Yeah, yeah, we're gonna make Bricky watch Rebel Moon for 24 hours straight. Yep.
I don't even know if you could like pay me for that. Like
24 hours straight for any movie is like you could not pay me.
No, I just watched Lawrence of Arabia 6 times. That'd make it easy.
I've never actually seen Lawrence of Arabia once. I've seen clips of it, but I've never actually watched the whole thing.
It's actually insane when when Mr. Arabia goes to Camara. It's crazy.
All right,
we're off the rails. All right, that's
we're off. We're completely off the rails. We have tipped over the wagon.
I am actually genuinely excited for what is that, Shy?
Shy, why are you like this?
Oh, you what can't put you... that in the episode.
You cannot put that in the episode.
Okay, so all right.
maybe you want to just end it here.
You know, so okay, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing.
Oh my god.
Camarog, unfortunately, it seems like it's going to get a lot more of its lore from this new The Big Dhaka book, which is unfortunate that we jumped into it before reading the book, but oh well, here we are. Camarog does not have a whole lot of lore on its inner workings too much. And besides, it's a pirate haven and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm actually excited to read the Uftak book and see if we can get a bit more Camara stuff, which would be very nice.
It's weird that you get a lot of Camara lore from an orc book. Like, why don't they just make a Camara book?
Well,
Because
Eldar books are bad.
Oh, really?
I mean, there aren't that many good ones.
I was going to say, like, why don't you just make it from, like, the perspective of someone trying to become an Archon and trying to, like, fight his way through all the blah, blah, blah and having dealings with homunculus and stuff and just do, like, how Dark Eldar lives in... Oh, it happens in Big Dhaka. Why does it have to be an orc book, though? Why don't you just have a fucking Dark Eldar book?
Listen, I was streaming the Power Wash Simulator thing recently, right?
Oh, that's so fun, actually.
Yeah, except the Thunderhawk sucks.
Oh, yeah, I got to the Thunderhawk, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm going to go play the Final Fantasy VII DLC now.
So Mike Brooks, author of Black Library, has made many a books, including Dagobo's Revenge, Brutal Cunning, War Boss, and as well as, if I'm not mistaken, as well as the Big Dhaka, which is interesting. He also did the Alpharius Primarch book and the Hirin Blackheart book as well. So he's got some interesting books out there, but he also did Sons of the Forest.
Oh.
So Mike Brooks clearly has range, it would appear.
Apparently he does have a little bit of range, for sure.
The Gobbo's Revenge and Brutal Cunning and stuff, you know, have their problems, but they're pretty great. Alpharius book has its problems, but it's pretty good.
Haven't read Huron.
Shy likes War Boss. Son of the Forest is like a top five Black Library book for us.
Yep, definitely.
So, you know, he ate with that one.
he ate with that one. The kids say, he consumed sustenance with that one.
I would despise the idea that Mike Brooks... Because he seems to be the main source of orky fun right now in Black Library. It would be so unfortunate if he went and did like nothing but Space Marine books, even if they're the same caliber as Son of the Forest.
I wouldn't mind.
No, I wouldn't mind. Like, I'd be like, he clearly is good at this, but he is also the main source of orc books, and I wish he would, you know, we need more of that too.
True. I guess we do need more orc books. There are plenty of Space Marine books, but by comparison, not nearly enough orc books. Fair enough.
I don't know if you've ever seen what Mike Brooks looks like. He is exactly the kind of British guy who would make an orc book.
Here's
his Twitter profile picture.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
I love it. Absolute baller.
Hell yeah! That is wow. That mohawk might be taller than him.
Anyway, Great stuff. Komarog, awesome. Maybe we'll do Komarog part two after we finish.
Komarog part two. Let's go. After we finish the Big Daka.
The Big Daka.
Yeah, which is probably going to be what, the book club after this book club?
That would be correct.
Okay, cool.
Well, now that you were mean to me, I have to do this. I had to do it. Like you were mean to me.
That didn't even affect me.
The Big Daka. Read it. drop the pipe!
Drop the pipe!
God, I put my headphones into my monitoring system so I can hear all the things I say, and it's so much louder for me now that I can hear it.
I love how that probably hurt you more than it hurt me.
It probably did. All right, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.